But then the only one who spoke to you, he didn't want to.
Okay, Shukrach, everyone. I've spoken this week about certain issues that relate to navigating your way through this long Charizman, through Parshas Noach, but obviously I want to talk about broader issues that don't just apply to the next 7-8 months, but apply to life in general. And one of them comes up in a very interesting series of Rashis, and I'll just read one of them. Noach's entry into the Teva is described as Vayavo Noach uvanav v'ishto unshevanav. So everyone's walking in, and of course, everyone's being rescued based on Noach's merit. But there's a description and a delineation that seems very intriguing. They each walk in. So Rashi comments that the men and the women had to walk in separately, because during the year they were in the Teva, they weren't allowed to carry on conjugal relations, because the world around them is suffering. And this is a very arresting moment, because the world around them was corrupt, the world around them was debauched and morally degenerate, and had to be destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is actually a very important move in history to reboot the earth and to reestablish a society based on morality and civility. And of course the answer is that when human beings suffer, you don't render judgments about their lives and whom they were, and you just suffer with them, and you certainly avoid the types of behavior that would be insensitive to their suffering. And there really are many layers to this conversation, and I'll obviously return to all the layers. Obviously, when human life is lost, again, you don't think about whether that person was a righteous person, or you certainly don't judge the dead, you don't judge human suffering. Unfortunately, sometimes you have situations in which there are tragedies, and especially religious-minded people who are always legitimately looking to connect events to behavior, as you should. The Rambam describes this in the beginning of Hilchos Tanis. If you're unable to see consequence in this world and try to yifashmesh b'masav, yimashmesh b'masav, then you're creating a world of happenstance and serendipity, and that's not the world that we live in. And you're not able to receive religious input and respond properly. But that's in a very general sense, and it's very personal. Let's say there's a tragedy, how can I change my life? How can I improve? Sometimes religious-minded people point fingers at other people. The reason this tragedy occurred is because of your behavior and your flaws and your limitations, and that's very, very, very offensive. It's intellectually bankrupt, it's morally repulsive, and I want to inoculate you entirely against it. Anyone that commits that terrible, terrible crime, it's a crime against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a crime against people. Every once in a while you hear people saying, I remember when I was your age and I was here in Yeshiva, there was a terrible traffic accident in Petach Tikva, like 17, 18 youngsters were killed on their way to school, and one of the Rabbanim got up and said the reason that happened is because there were ongoing debates and protests in Petah Tikva about opening the movie theater on Shabbos. And just, it was so revolting. People are suffering, and they're burying their children, and you're sitting there pointing accusatory fingers. I remember, it was September 11th, I remember speaking to a friend of mine whose child was in a yeshiva, different type of yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and I was speaking with him, and he told me that his Rebbe gathered the boys a few hours after September 11th and gave a rousing Musar Shmuz about the evils of capitalism, and that this was a Kodesh Baruch Hu's reminder of what he said, but it was just so offensive to me. People are sitting under tons of concrete, having their lives snuffed out, and you're dancing on their blood and rendering judgments and pointing fingers at them and their families. Just be very, very careful, and not doesn't make a judgment. On a different level, though, I think that sometimes we're exposed to human suffering, and more often than not, we don't have an ability to alter that human suffering, primarily because of distance, limited funds and resources, and quite frankly, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have other expectations from you. Or this is, let's say this is your year to learn and to grow as an Oved Hashem. And if, let's say, there's a monsoon in Indonesia, that means you get on a plane and all of a sudden help the locals. This is where Hashem wants you to be right now. So we aren't necessarily capable of offering assistance and of offering help, but at least to feel pain and sympathy and understand that human beings are suffering. I think sometimes in general, and sometimes as Jews, because we're at a very, very pitched nationalistic stage of our experiences, we should be. We're trying to rebuild our people, rebuild our land, rebuild our country. Sometimes we become a little bit narrow-minded and a little less attentive to the events that happen around us, not necessarily to us. And it's a bit of a challenge in this world, because I think the internet has dulled our sensitivity towards it. We hear about everything. So once you hear about everything, there's an inflation. And once there's an inflation, there's a devaluation. used to be before there's an internet. So if there were a very, very serious catastrophe, then you heard about it, made headlines in the news, in the newspaper, you received information. Because of the efficiency of the conveyance of information on the internet, you're hearing about everything, and you're hearing about it without differentiation. So the same headlines that describe an earthquake in which 20,000 people, chas v'shalom, are killed, will describe a car accident of a particularly grisly nature. But, and again, we don't trivialize even the loss of one person's life, but it's just such a torrent, and it's such a flow of information, that you become dull to it. It's just like, what's today's tragedy? What's today's evil happening? Who suffered where? So it's hard today. I think it's really hard to differentiate between the two. But at some level, when there are real, real issues that afflict humanity, certainly of the dimension of a mabul, I think there's got to be an internal sympathy, an internal recognition, even if you're not involved in direct response to it, you're not in the response team. And also, even if you can't generate the sympathies and the emotions, at the very least your behavior should reflect it. And that's what I think you're seeing in this Rashi. Rashi doesn't tell us that Noach was crying. We don't know whether he was or he wasn't. He may have been, he may not have been. Rashi just says that for the year, he wasn't involved in Tashmish HaMitah. For that year, people around him are dying. He doesn't live it up in the same normal fashion. And I'd like to provide a very specific challenge to you. Obviously, what I said so far is of a universal nature, and each person should calibrate it and modulate it based on the type of event and where you are in life. But in particular, for those who won't live in Eretz Yisrael, and you just lived through a very, very tragic moment in Eretz Yisrael, about a month ago, and you see how we process these tragedies and the thousands and thousands of people that come to Levayas and the tears and the national mourning, and hopefully you won't have any other incidents this year, but you will see what happens in Yom HaZikaron, and it's very, very different to me. It's I don't say it's my favorite day of the year, but it's my second Yom Kippur of the year. You'll see, I go through Yom HaZikaron, I feel exactly as I feel on Yom Kippur. I feel purged, and I feel catharsis, and I feel purity like I feel on Yom Kippur. And hopefully you'll taste that. But what will happen in 10 years from now? And you're living in fill in the blanks, and you have you're starting your family, and chas v'shalom, you get word on a Sunday morning that there was a terror incident in Eretz Yisrael. And now you know what's happening in Eretz Yisrael. And you know that people, you see how we process these terror events with real names and real people and faces and funerals. And you can't summon the type of tears because you're far away and you're in a different place. I know even when I'm in America and chas v'shalom, something happens in Eretz Yisrael, I feel very frustrated because my emotions just are very detached because I'm in a different place. So you may not be able to generate the emotional response, but at least your behavior should reflect a sense of national mourning. And I'm going to give you a very, very specific challenge. And I've given this challenge for 20 years. And people who have accepted this challenge, not just boys your age and girls your age, but adults, have thanked me for it. But it's a very, very stiff challenge. The thought that that day you're going to then go to a baseball game or a football game while people are crying in Eretz Yisrael and people who are defending your country and your future, that you're going to visit on Sukkot and your children are going to learn in, your grandchildren, whatever, however you define your relationship with Israel, and you're going to be in a stadium screaming and shouting for men, you know, to perform athletic feats in the Colosseum, modern day Colosseums, to me it's just repulsive. So if you can't summon the emotion, you can't. Like I told you, when I'm there, it's also hard to cry the same way I cry here. The very least, just walk away from Tashmish HaMitah in the metaphoric sense. At least your behavior should reflect that. Give your tickets to someone else. Or, again, I don't know. I don't want to become too granular whether you should watch the game or shouldn't watch the game on TV. Sometimes I feel uncomfortable even, you know, looking at highlights or something when I know that there's a terror incident. I like to look at highlights on my computer of the various games, and sometimes I find it difficult. Just to remember, this came to a head during the Hitnatkut in 2005 when we moved out of Gaza. So it happened 2 days after Tisha B'Av. And I had a very large family. We were the younger then. I didn't have so much funds. And we'd planned every summer, we planned one family trip to an amusement park. That was our family outing. We had kids don't go to camp. They sat around the whole summer. This was the big event. And we shelled out a couple hundred shekels. It was expensive tickets. And then it turned out that the day we were slated to go, this isn't Great Adventures. It's a little, you know, a little shoddy amusement park somewhere in the middle of the university. Still nothing. A couple of rides. All of a sudden, we open the TV and we see the scenes, as you probably have seen, of families being ripped away from their homes and confrontations between soldiers and citizens. Just really hard scenes. I looked at my wife and I said, we can't go today. And we thought about it a little bit. And we said, this isn't for us. It's for our children. And They're at a different stage, and they're not processing it as much. So we went with very heavy hearts. We knew we couldn't recover the funds. There's a whole bunch of factors, but there have been many times we've canceled family events and family get-togethers at restaurants. So no one can give you a general rule of thumb and what to do or what not to do, but at least every year, like I'm trying to plant these seeds in your mind, every year when you read Parshas Noach, like you ask yourself, have I been successful at this? If Noach can refrain from his wife for an entire year while the world around them suffers, am I sufficiently, if not emotionally, engaged in people suffering? At least is my behavior reflective? And sometimes it hurts me. Sometimes I see, remember about 13, 14 years ago, I was a rabbi in a summer camp. And we woke up Sunday morning, and I think it was July 4th, and the whole camp was geared up to celebrate Independence Day with red, white, and blue flags and hot dogs and apple pie, whatever. And there was a terrible, terrible pigua in Eretz Yisrael that morning. Terrible. And I tried my hardest to get people to clock out of this celebratory environment and atmosphere and realize that your brothers and sisters are sitting there crying over their freshly cut graves, and you can't just simply be marching around in flags on July 4th. There's got to be some balance. I don't remember how successful it was, to be honest, but there's got to be some balance, and think about that in this week's parsha. So again, I'm going to try to use this time before Shiur, obviously, to help you identify values and traits that you need to apply right now, but also you're building your identity and you're building your persona, and this is part of building your persona. Okay?
Okay.
Let us